Good morning, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is Thursday, December the 1st, 2022. The Christmas season is almost upon us. And today I am asking, do you need to breathe more through your nose? Today's post is about nostrils and mouths and breathing. Any bodily function that we have any control over is suspiciously in need of upgrades, according to gurus and folk wisdom. For instance, many people believe that more and better use of the nose for breathing will enhance something more relaxing, maybe warmer oxygen. Look, it's just better, okay? Billions of people not examining their assumptions cannot possibly be wrong. Except, of course, they totally can. They do it all the time. The health-enhancing power of nostril breathing is one of those minor casual claims that's just floating around out there, something that almost everyone keen on their health and fitness has heard of, but few people take seriously or examine critically. But Dr. Harriet Hall recently did. She wrote about this oddball claim for sciencebasedmedicine.org, which is why it's on my mind. Harriet Hall says, quote, "We breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide without having to think about it, but many people tell us we should think about it. I couldn't find any scientific evidence to support the common advice to breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth." The in through the nose and out through the mouth variation is the claim that she focused on. This post is a little broader. I will add some of my own thoughts so far about all nostril-centric breathing ideas. And this is just, for me, one step on a longer journey to a major new deep dive article about breathing, relaxation, and meditation. And I figure that I will have that ready for you in about 7 weeks, or maybe 37, who knows. It's a sprawling topic. It's hard to control an article about breathing, relaxation, and meditation. It easily threatens to become three books instead of one article. So it's a long journey, and this is just part of it, and very much a first take. I shared an early version of this post when it was just barely ready for consumption midday yesterday, and the attention that it got on social media was intense. Always amazes me how hot a topic respiration is. You wouldn't think that it would attract a lot of attention, but it was a hot post, and I got a lot of feedback and a lot of comments, and some of it was interesting, and some of it was quote-unquote interesting, and I made a lot of improvements and modifications to the post in the few hours, for the entire rest of the day. I kept tinkering with it, and then more again this morning, but in spite of all that, this is still kind of a first take. This is my first impressions, and obviously there is more to say about some of this stuff. But let's begin with the basics, as benefits. Never mind the evidence. I can't even find a coherent notion of the bloody point of deliberately doing extra nose breathing. Don't most people mostly breathe through their noses already? And yet, in spite of that, good luck getting through any yoga class without being told to do it. So why? The only plausible benefits that I've seen so far are almost comically elementary. Even credible sources casually conflate the basic physiological functions of the nose with the benefits of breathing through it. Yes, your beautifully evolved schnoz will indeed warm and humidify and partially filter your air, which is a little less irritating to the rest of the respiratory system than cold, unfiltered, dry air. So congratulations, you're an animal with a functional respiratory tract, which consists of two breathing holes that you use for different reasons at different times. None of that stuff means that anyone needs to emphasize nostril breathing. The basic functions of our physiology are not quote-unquote benefits for a health ritual. There's always relaxation, of course, as well, and more on that below. But now that we've discussed some of the positive reasons for breathing, not that they're very substantive for nostril breathing, let's talk about the negative. That's the carrot now for the stick. Is mouth breathing dangerous? You might have noticed this. Every health ritual these days has both touted benefits to attract you to it, plus a boogeyman to spook you into it. This is a very strong pattern because fear sells. In the case of nostril breathing, the scare story is that too much mouth breathing is actually dangerous. But that is very unlikely. Excessive mouth breathing could be a sign of other medical problems, but it's not in itself the cause of anything scary, I doubt. There is a particularly widely promoted idea that excessive mouth breathing is an underestimated sign of surprisingly serious underlying pathologies, which can have long-term consequences, especially in children. So that's the full-throated version of the scare story, and it may or may not be true or exaggerated. Certainly, underestimated and surprisingly serious pathologies exist. Medicine does have actual boogeymen in it. Whether or not it's the case here is not for me to say and out of my lane and beyond the scope of this post. What I can say is that certainly many conditions can partially block the nasal passages, acutely or chronically, and obviously you will mouth breathe if you cannot nose breathe. But are there dangerous and unsuspected causes of mouth breathing? Here's the thing, here's what I can say. Even if there are, even if that is not just hyperbolic fear-mongering, and I don't know, I'm just saying, it might not be hyperbolic fear-mongering, or it might be, but even if it is, even if it's not fear-mongering, even if the threat is real, does that mean that we should therefore all commence nostril breathing as much as possible to save our frackin' lives? No. If then the mouth breathing is just a symptom of a medical problem, not a bad habit that is sickening otherwise healthy humans. And yet, that is exactly how nostril breathing is framed by many sources. Too many of them are obviously too happy to argue or just let people assume that mouth breathing itself is dangerous. And that is definitely hyperbolic fear-mongering. Case in point, nostril breathing to keep your teeth straight? This is a good example of a bad justification for recommending more nostril breathing. It's bizarre and muddled. I wouldn't normally give an idea this week so much airtime. I wouldn't give a whole section to this, but I found this garbage claim at the very top of the Google search results for breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. The very top, the very first listing. And here's the quote. Breathing through a person's nose helps the facial muscles and bones develop correctly and helps develop straight teeth. When the mouth is closed, the tongue is in the proper position to help the jaw grow correctly and teeth emerge in the right places. Really? That is why you must breathe through your nose for 20 years while your face is still growing? You've got to be careful not to breathe through your mouth? This is gibberish, I would say, as was most of the article. With really kooky claims like this, I'm always torn about whether I should earnestly spell out my objections or just roll my eyes at it. In this case, it seems so dumb that it doesn't deserve actual analysis. But it is at the top of the search results for the topic, despite Google's constant efforts to keep low-quality information out of their search results. Well done, Google. Golf clap. I'm a little cynical about Google's ability to keep crap out of the search results. I've been fighting this my entire career, and I've seen countless cases of horrible, horrible healthcare misinformation that dominates the listings for years at a time. Let that go for the moment. The point is that people have come up with many imaginative and frightful ideas about why we should do more nose breathing. And most of these, I suspect, are just hand-waving speculation that emerged well after the original popularization of nostril breathing, which was almost certainly thanks to yoga and meditation classes. It's the pranayama, stupid! The nostril breathing fandom is probably mostly about pranayama or yogic breathing exercises, and that means the spirit of this thing is roughly equal parts. One, vitalism, which is the belief in animating life energy like the Force in Star Wars. Seriously, that's what it's like. It's the same thing. And I often make that comparison to make it clear that vitalism is silly. Vitalism is entirely a toxic ideological dumpster fire. And two, the other equal part, is that this nostril breathing thing is a mashup of both ancient Eastern and modern New Age folk medicine wisdom. And of course, folk medicine wisdom, old and new, is mostly silly garbage, but always with some wholesome basics to fend off the lazy skeptics. The classic pranayama idea, there's a good typo. I've got parayama here. Prana. You're going to need to add some more A's and N's in there. The classic pranayama idea is that we breathe with the left nostril to relax. That is, quote, cooling and liberating. And the right nostril to get revved up, heat generating. And this much more specific claim is straight out of pranayama, yogic breathing exercises, and probably nowhere else. And it seems testable, and it has been tested, with predictable results. A 2022 paper compared left and right nostril breathing and found that they were both slightly relaxing. All parasympathetic, no sympathetic regulation from the right side, no heat generated. And that was a study done by Indians, and I am having a hunch that, sorry, that was probably offensive. I grew up with a lot of Indians, and I love their accent and speech mannerisms. I'm teasing with love. I am having a hunch that they were probably disappointed by the results of that study. If they couldn't p-hack their way to a bias-confirming result, then who can? I suspect that alternate nostril breathing has been simplified for mass consumption since its original popularization to just in through the nose and out through the mouth, or even simpler, just more nose breathing, please. But basically, everything that we know about the idea today is still right out of yoga and meditation. And of course, this may also just be another of many ideas from pranayama. There were a bunch of them, after all. Now to the relaxation. Some of you have probably been pounding the table since I began. What about relaxation? Yes, what about it? Stranger ideas in health and fitness and alternative medicine are often not very appealing to ordinary folks who may not be interested in paying for chakra tickling or, you know, whatever flaky thing is on the table. And so those ideas are almost always made more palatable to the mass market by using bland and secular backup claims like, and it's relaxing, and whatever else it does, at least it increases circulation. Boring benefit bullet points like this are critical to the marketing of virtually all health nonsense. Doesn't mean that it is health nonsense. Something can be legitimately relaxing and not, you know, be nonsense otherwise. It could be legitimate otherwise. But whenever you see relaxation or circulation enhancement emphasized as a benefit of anything, get suspicious, because it may be the only benefit, and it might be dubious. Even if it is an actual benefit, it might be pretty minor. So see also above basics as benefits. In the case of nostril breathing, I think the boring benefits are probably the whole enchilada. There is no step two. Slow, deep, and deliberate breathing exercises probably are somewhat relaxing, for whatever that is worth. Not nothing, but maybe less than you think. And that's another topic I'm working on. But I doubt that nostrils have much to do with it. It's probably a good way of getting you to slow down. And obviously, it's associated with calmer states than breathing through your mouth. So, yeah, it's probably relaxing. And if nostril breathing has any legitimacy as a health ritual, then it would have to be because it is specifically significantly more sedative than other respiratory patterns. You know, so there's no point in relaxing by nostril breathing if any kind of slow, deep breathing is going to do the job. It has to be the nostril thing specifically. Otherwise, what's the point of the whole claim? I was not able to find any science about this whatsoever. As far as I know, it's just never been tested. Probably because no one serious actually cares. And that is how it goes with most lightweight folk medicine claim. That's a tough one. That is how it goes with most lightweight folk medicine claims. I had to sing that one to get through it. An aside here that I didn't write about yet. Someone on the Facebook post weighed in with a bunch of citations, which, you know, my first impression is that they were, you know, a really, really good example of tooth fairy science, of, you know, fancy-looking study of things that don't matter much. You know, the brain activates more or differently when you breathe in through your nose. Sounds great to the layman. You know, ooh, the brain activates. No kidding. Well, of course it acts. The brain activates when you do anything. Scratch your nose, your brain is going to activate. Does it matter? There's a lot of science like this trying to validate the original pranayama claims, you know, basically by observing, you know, that nostril breathing has physiological effects. Yes, it does. It's respiration. Of course it has effects. Of course it's not exactly the same as mouth breathing. But the question is whether or not any of that is, you know, significant to your health, clinically significant, medically significant. I didn't get into that science for this post, partly because it was, you know, a preliminary first take, but also just because, ugh, I've done this many times in my life, and I am not easily impressed anymore. And I can tell from a long ways off that is going to be a tedious slog through a bunch of science that doesn't really tell us anything, and doesn't actually help the situation. And yet I'll be obliged to dive into it. I can't possibly say that I've done a deep dive on the topic without tackling it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that, like I'm looking forward to my next paper cut. But I probably will do it. Final thing, all nostrils all the time, even while sprinting? I have occasionally encountered this idea, and I encountered it again yesterday, that we should only breathe through the nose, even during intense aerobic respiration, the time when you are most likely to need to guzzle air at a much higher rate than usual. I have actually seen people make this argument. It would be entertaining to watch them try to play some soccer or run 10 kilometers without breathing through their mouths. I have no idea where this nonsense comes from. To me, it has the ring of just typical muddled modern health guru BS. Personally, I prefer to breathe like a dog, enthusiastically, through whatever damned holes naturally suits me at the time. All right, thanks for listening. That is your reading for members only of today's post. I thought that things were clearing up and I'd have more content for you soon, because my parents have been sick and all kinds of other family dramas so far this fall. And just as I'm getting back to normal productivity, now my wife is sick, which means, of course, I may be right behind her. So we'll see what happens. This might be the last post for another couple weeks. Or I might have a bunch more coming for you soon, as long as I can stay healthy myself.